How are you, sweet spirits?
How is everyone?
Did you have a good week? How's everything since last episode? Everybody good? Everybody fucking hanging in there, getting pussy, making money, eating fucking Chipotle, you know what I'm saying? You fucking live your life. Don't let nobody fucking tell you what to do ever. Hello from Allergy Land. Wow, did my allergies come in like a motherfucking hurricane swell. Wow. They were creeping in, and we had this fucking mega windstorm the other day. It was some, I mean, I lived in LA 12 years. It was some of the strongest wind I've ever seen in the valley, at least where I am. It was unbelievable, undeniable. I was coming out of like, I came out of Ralph's. That was the night I got a steak. What was that, Monday night? I just got like a fucking steak, and I'm like, I'm going to go home and watch a bunch of Sopranos. And we were coming out of Ralph's, and the paper grocery bag that I had my stuff in, like, the wind took it and, like, almost ripped the handles off. Like, people were, like, running. It was, like, running into, like, one of those giant, like, wind fans they use on set. Like, people were, like, walking, and they had to, like, almost do the robot to walk against the wind. It was like 45-mile-an-hour wind. It was fucking nuts. There was shit flying everywhere. And it kicked up so much shit and dust and just destroyed. There's, like, a fucking civil war happening in my fucking face. Like, the whole back of my nose, it's just, like, burning. And I'm just snot fucking pouring out everywhere for like 2 hours. I went through an entire box of tissues in less than a day already. I don't know, Globe, this is disgusting. I can't help it. It's happening. I'm dealing with it. The bottoms of my fucking nose are so red from constantly blowing my nose. It looks like that fucking shot in Goodfellas towards the end when the day Henry gets caught by the cops. And there's that, B.B. King fucking song. And there's that snap zoom into he does the coke and his head tips back and the whole bottom of his nose is red. That's what my fucking nose looks like. I look like a coke fucking fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. But yeah, I'm a mess, man. Holy shit, this is terrible. I went out last night. I went to go see my man J. Mac, who I work with on the Pollux thing, because he was doing improv. He's in an improv group. And I did a little bit of fucking stand-up over there at the dreaded, infamous... it's up there with Liquid Zoo. It was one of the most infamous, awful open mics in Los Angeles, the Cafe on Urban, which is they've been doing it for shit. They might have been doing it for 20 years there. But I did that, and I got up really quick, and I was out of there. So I went to go see him, and like I couldn't... I wanted to... I didn't know if I was going to make it. He's like, we go on somewhere between 10 and like 11:30. So I got there like quarter after 10. And of course I missed him. But I'm stuck in the back of this fucking little theater, like right on Santa Monica Boulevard over there by Labria, as my phone calls it. And I had a pocket, everywhere I went, I had to be completely prepared. I had to, like, have a whole pocket full of, like, tissues and shit, because my nose just, I don't know when this started. Like, this never used to happen to me. I've always had allergies and shit like that, but I never had this thing where I just fucking, where I just snot just runs out of my fucking nose. Like, my sinuses just drain, like, endlessly, like, just nonstop runny nose. Like, full-on runny, too, not, like, a little bit, just, like after, like, you sneeze 5 times in a row kind of thing, it's just gushing out. And I'm standing back. I didn't know if he'd already gone up yet or what, because he couldn't text me because he was like in the, you know, doing shit or whatever. And I'm like, did you guys go? Because I was going to take pictures of him and stuff. And I'm standing back there, and like within like 30 minutes, I was starving, and like my nose was just, I'm like, I fucking can't take this. I got to go home. Like I tried to fucking work out. And it was like if you took like a goldfish bowl half full of water and just like tipped it back and forth, and there was just like water slot. That's what the inside of my head felt like. There's like water fucking sloshing around in my fucking brain. It was fucking horrible. But you know, I'm really losing my Bill Burr laugh. I don't listen to him anymore. It's not there like it usually is. But oh man, I was in there today. I'm in fucking Gold's Gym. Venice Beach, the mecca of bodybuilding, as it's called, because that's all over the signs, all over the fucking place. Luke, did you really just say that? Hey, they put the signs up, not me. I'm just telling you what it says. And I'm in there today, and today I had a good work. I felt like shit today. My fucking, I need my back straightened out like the Dickens. It is crooked as a fucking dog's hind leg. It is killing me. I'm in fucking pain. I woke up just like full of snot and back hurt and everything else today. I'm just like, I feel like fucking shit. Somehow I managed to have like a really good workout, right? I like it, you know, because like I said, they got all these like garage doors open and like fresh ocean breeze blows in and shit. And I'm in there on the, I'm doing dips on the thing where, so there's like a, there's an ab machine. It's not, it's just like an elevated thing where you get on it and you do leg raises. You know, it's just kind of like a, it's just like a little rig you stand in. It's pretty simple. But there's also these two handles that stick out so you could do dips. And I don't know why, but it's always been my favorite thing to do dips on. Luke, there's a lot of extraneous information. Is this fucking story going somewhere or what? Yes, it is. So I'm sitting there and I'm having a great set of dips. Like I had great, it was one of those ones where I just like, it was just right timing when I was doing them. And my body was at a nice 90, fuck, I looked fucking awesome, man. My arms looked huge. I'm in a 90 degree, I'm just fucking beautiful form. I mean, my fucking triceps are fucking just exploding. It looked like it looked like from the time I walked in to the time I was doing dips on this thing, like someone had taken me and done surgery and put implants in my triceps. I mean, what do you want me to say, guys? They're fucking glistening, beautiful triceps, having great dips, and within 10 reps, I'm like, something, a smell, a stench got into my mouth. And this fucking gym is loaded to the gills with fucking gorgeous women. I mean, fucking gorgeous, man. All over the goddamn. I'm telling you, half these chicks got to be fucking playmates or like porn stars. They're fucking ridiculous. And there's a chick right, almost right under me on this ab machine doing like it's like a crunch machine. And she's got her legs akimbo. And this woman's pussy stunk like the fucking Fulton Fish Market. It was awful. I was gagging. I mean, it went right down my throat. Her fucking vagina stunk up like a 15-foot fucking square radius. It was horrendous. I'm like, God damn it, lady. I'm having such good fucking dips. And you got to come over here with your fucking stinky pussy and fuck with my workout. Fucking bitch. Yes, I would have fucked her. But that's what happened. I am in allergy hell. Are you? Let's talk about allergies. What kind of allergy medicine are you using? Give me an email. We'll talk about it. We'll have allergy Wednesday. Yeah. I'm on my way to this mic. Hey, dude. I've never been to it before. I'm in a weird mood. I want to do a faraway mic. I want to go somewhere far away where no one knows that I stink. I was going to go to the Irvine Improv, but... Look, that's 55 miles away. I know. That's how fucking crazy. And I need time to do the show. It's now 7:30 at night. I wanted to do it this morning on the way to work, but just didn't have the juice. Like I said, I felt like shit. I'm like, you know what? I'll wait till later when I got a little bit more fucking energy. So, you know, like I just worked out, tore it up. So I'm in a little bit better fucking shape. You know what's funny about this show? Last week when I did it on the way to work, but I did it on a day where I'm up later in the morning. I don't have to get up till like 9, and I'm doing a bunch of pickups. I don't get to work till like 11:30. So I did it then where I can drink all kinds of coffee and get a nice buzz going. And I got so wound up last week. I never, and this is bear with me because this is a how awesome I am moment. I don't mean it to be, but like this doing this fucking show, it takes so much out of me. Whenever I do that fucking dead, I can't not do it, but like when I do that drainage fucking thing, for drainage from fucking There Will Be Blood, like that blows my throat out for like the day. It usually hurts until the next day because I'm really screaming my balls off and I get so wound up and I have such a coffee buzz. I got into work and I was just like a mess. Like I couldn't like, I was all fucked up. I couldn't like concentrate and like, anything anyone said, I would just go on a rant, and they were like, whoa, Jesus Christ, like, what the fuck's with you today? I was like, you know, what the fuck, this fucking guy, this fucking piece of shit comes in here, like, I'm just a fucking, like, I'm like, it's not a good idea to do this now and go to the mic, because, like I just said, I'm gonna be all fucked up. By the time I get out of this thing, I put myself through such fucking, it's like a physical fucking performance, like, it's ridiculous, blows my throat out. But you know what, I do it for you fucking people, you know, what am I gonna do, not do it? I gotta entertain all 12 of you or so. I don't know. Who knows? I could have like 500. I could have 1,000 listeners for all I fucking know. I have no idea. But, you know, I do it as if I was talking to 1,000. Because that's how, you know, that's how you got to do it. You got to give it your all. Give it your all. You know what? Yeah, so it fucks me up doing the show. That's bullet point number one. It's going to be a rough one. It's rough out there, I tell you. You know, I forgot to mention last week, the reason I brought up that Amy Schumer Netflix special story was because... Netflix changed because it did so bad, and because she's a woman, they changed the way you can rate comedy specials. That's how fucking silly this shit is. Now you can. You used to be able to give stars, and because she got such a shit rating, they changed it to a thumbs up, thumbs down to be more fair. And I'm just like, oh my god, if a fucking guy had a shit special like that, and that had happened. Okay. I don't know if we're gonna. Fuck, this is gonna be close, dog. I hope I make this mic because it's far. It's a Glendora. And I'm just like, what horse shit? What fucking like? What kid gloves? Are you fucking? Oh, I thought it's supposed to be equal. Hey, women are the funniest men. Really? Well, when they get shellacked, when they don't do good, why do we have to make concessions for them? I went to the fucking the West Side mic last week, Tuesday night, and I didn't make the goddamn drawing, and they get to the bartender lets them, you know, they pull 25, and then they always do like a, it's almost like a band doing a an encore. They go, all right, we'll pull two more names, two more. So they pull one more name. It was fucking packed in there. Like, there must have been 70 people in there. That's not a big room. It was fucking mobbed in there last week. I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of people. And then the fucking host goes, well, you know what? I'm going to wait until we pull out a girl's name. The last name's going to be a girl. And I'm just like, what? Why? Why? Why do they get fucking special treatment? Why does no one should? If you're funny, it should dictate if you're funny. It doesn't matter if you have a fucking cock or a puss. And that should not matter. Why the fuck do they get special goddamn privileges? What the fuck? And then before the show, so this drives me crazy. Every Tuesday, this fucking broad gets up. She's like, I'm the program director at West Side. It's like Marge Gunderson, motherfucker. And she gets up and she does like this like 8-minute long thing. Like, what? So telling you all the stuff we got coming up at West Side and like these comedy competitions you should enter and blah, blah, all this. Every fucking week, there's this preamble now. I mean, she's like a nice lady, but it's just, I don't want to, I'm tired of fucking, it's like movie trailers. I don't want to fucking sit through this shit. Let's fucking go. The mic is long enough already. So then she's like, I want to start a program. I'm urging everyone in here. If you know a girl that does stand-up comedy and you want, please bring her to this mic. And it's a supportive room, and we just want more female. And I'm just like, why? If they want to come, they'll come. Why are you trying to force us to bring more women into comedy? For what? For what fucking reason? Can't you just let nature take its course? It just happens to be more funny women or chicks that want to do stand-up there, they'll come. If they don't, they don't. Like, why are you trying to force more women in there? They're less fucking funny. Don't you want a better business? Sorry, they're just fucking not. Look, you go through this every goddamn week. We got to listen to this. I know, but I fucking deal with it every night. Fuck, it drives me crazy. All this goddamn fucking pussyfooting with the fucking women comics. Get up and do your fucking job. You want to be a fucking eagle? Get up and do your fucking job. Be funny. Shut up. And stop making a fucking... I know women comics, they're not getting together and collective bargaining to the club and saying, we want... It's the clubs doing this themselves, but it's just like, stop it. Fucking, you know, cut the shit. I also forgot to mention, this is such a dumb aside, but I forgot that Nick DiPaolo is one of my favorite comics. And I use this term loosely, casting. When I was casting that Wiretap Scar sketch, he was like my number one choice to play, I think, the chief. So I sent it to him, and he liked it. He's a pretty big, I mean, he's a big comic. He's been at Howard and all kinds of shit, and he said he really liked it. And he goes, listen, I'll do it for no money, but if you guys can fly me and put me up. And I was like, shit, you know, who else offered? Someone else offered me that deal, and it was somebody good. And I was like, fuck, I wish I could. I'm like, dude, someday... you know, when I got a budget or something like that, you know, I'll do it. He's like, all right, well, let me know when you got one. So that was cool enough. And then so just to be a fuckhead, because this is the only podcast I pay for. His show's about, he does one free show a week on iTunes, but then he does like two or three more if you fucking pay. It's like $4 a month or something like that. But I like him so much, you know, I'll fucking pay it because I need my goddamn, my fix of angry white guy right winger who's funny as opposed to fucking that's all I moved in, whatever. So I started listening to Stephen Crowder and shit, whatever. But I mean, I can't do like Maron anymore. I just can't. I love Maron to death, but I can't. This doom and gloom bullshit with his fucking show every week with Trump and fucking enough. When you join his Connect Pal thing for a show, then you can like direct message him. So I sent him a copy of the fucking sketch, and I said, oh, this is how the, I was like, I remember I emailed you. So he wrote me this whole nice message back. He's like, yeah, I remember this, man. It came out really good. It's really funny. He's like, fucking, he's like, congrats on getting Mike Starr. He was great. And he's like, he actually watched it and gave me all like this nice little message. He's like, yeah, I remember that. That was funny as hell. I was like, holy fuck. That was fucking pretty cool. Always nice to get a little validation from your favorite funny people. I'm so sad out here. But yeah, that was, you know, that was a, this is what you call house cleaning. These are just stupid notes from last episode. I wasn't able to, like, I tell. I'm pulling out of my fucking, so the street that I live on.
Take exit 16B onto CA 60 East toward Pomona.
60 East? What the Hellman's mayonnaise? I don't want to swear too much. What if there's a family? I'm driving down my street, okay, where my apartment is. Is like there's no they're really there's parking on both sides. It's like a New York City fucking neighborhood street. There's just cars everywhere. It's all apartments. There's never any parking. There's always a dozen cars parallel parked all over the goddamn place. It's really hard to navigate. And I'm driving down the street and this guy goes zipping fucking flying by us. Okay, he pulls in the driveway of one of the apartments. Now, like I said, I couldn't really see because there's a car parallel parked. And I'm waiting to navigate between two cars, you know, that are double parked with their fucking hazards on. And when I go to go around, this guy suddenly just comes pulling out of the driveway. Did not even look. Just pulled in the driveway to like turn around or whatever, and just goes fucking slamming in reverse out of the driveway. I almost fucking T-bow. I barely didn't hit this guy. So he pulled out and didn't even look. I'm like, what the fuck? And I lay on my horn. And this is, I don't know if it's the new attitude, but it's just, it's a thing that goes on. I don't know if this goes on everywhere. I don't know if it's just LA. I don't know if it's new to LA, but it seems like I've been seeing it more recently that when you're the asshole, you're the one that fucks up, and then someone beeps their horn and they're the asshole for beeping. Like, how dare you beep at me for being a complete, inconsiderate, dangerous fucking asshole in the middle of traffic? So this fucking guy freaks out. He's fucking screaming, fuck you, asshole, fuck you. So I'm like, fuck you, and I go around him. So he comes, he lets me pass him, and then he comes flying up behind, like right on my fucking ass, all the way up the street, flipping me up, screaming. So I get to the fucking stop sign, and I'm ready to kill this fucking guy, because he's in the wrong, like quite obviously. But I'm the asshole. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm the asshole for beeping at you. So he's yelling. I'm yelling out my window, and I'm going, I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, I'm the fucking asshole for beeping. I'm like, you almost fucking killed me, you stupid fuck. I'm like, and so I'm yelling, and he's screaming at the same time, so we can't hear each other. And then at one point, he stops. He goes, what? And I go, how the fuck is it my fault for beeping at you for pulling out and not fucking looking? He's like, fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm like, fuck you. You're the fucking asshole. So we're just like, yeah. I was like ready to get out. I should have just got out. I wanted to get out just to yell at him, not to like, you know, whatever. He would have got out and it would have been on. It would have been on. I don't give a shit. I was fucking pissed. But I'm just fucking screaming. And I'm just, that's the attitude of everyone here. Like, you're the asshole. There was another time I saw this chick cut this fucking woman off the other day. Just another. She just I don't know what this woman was thinking. She made a right and just cut across like three fucking lanes of traffic. A black chick, of course, a fucking black woman, just cuts everybody off. And this fucking, this like Indian, this like real like, oh, I want to do, like this well-to-do, like they were like a little caravan or a minivan, kind of Aerostar fucking van. And they fucking lay their horn on her, and she screams, she's like, fuck. She puts, here's how classy she is. She puts both her middle fingers in the air at this like, this middle-aged Indian couple, who she cut off. And then she screams at them, she's like, fuck you, yeah, fuck you. And she's going crazy, her hands are going everywhere. I'm like, cool, there's a rational, this woman should be behind the fucking wheel of a car. That's great. How the fuck is it their fault? You cut them off, you fucking cut. There's never like a, oh, sorry, sorry. I do that all the time. I've been a fuckheader, I fucked up, and I'll do the like, both hands and like that emoji where it's gritting its teeth. Like I do that, I make that face for real. I'm like, sorry, sorry, sorry. And I'll kind of wave. Like they'll be pissed and shaking their head and I'll wave like, sorry, sorry. No one else does the sorry, sorry. I'm the fucking last one left. I'm the fucking Clint Eastwood of, I'm the fucking High Plains Drifter of politeness on the fucking LA streets. The fuck is wrong with everybody? If you fucked up, you know, fucking admit to your mistake, you fucking entitled shit fucks. We had the screening. Oh, we showed. I know I keep talking about this sketch. I'm sorry. So we went to the North Hollywood Cinefest to show our film, and this was cool because it was in theater number one, the big one. Big ones, fucking right, the big theater over there where I go to see I saw Captain America 3, massive fucking screen, big ass giant theater, and I'm like, cool, this is gonna be fucking great. They have a little red carpet, which was like a lot more to do than I thought. There's all people in suits and like actual photographers with like those umbrella fucking things and like all kinds of shit going on. So we go in. Now, our movie is third up. I think it was like an hour and a half of it was like the Shorts Festival. And not the clothing. God damn you. Short form content. Son of a gun. You thought I was talking about the freaking like Dockers. Yeah. So we're third up. And what was there? Maybe five, six of us. Chaka and Scotty Babe and Treeman and Bokes' chick and him. And who else was there? Anybody? I think did Heather show up? Oh, yeah. Heather was. She didn't sit with us. Heather, B camera operator, and her dude came. Whatever, so we're there, and they show ours. It looked fucking great. I mean, anamorphic on a big screen. Looked fucking, the sound mix sucks on that thing. I don't know what the fuck, but it looked awesome. I was like, it was so fucking cool. And the one or two right before us were like, one was like some kind of anime thing, and what was the other one? I don't know, but this thing went on, and I know I talk about this every fucking time, but these fucking self... I hate, like, art. I can't stand, like, take yourself fucking seriously. My film is very serious. It's about rape, and it's about this guy that raped this girl. There is one before us. It was about, apparently... what's his name? Ted Bundy. Before he began his serial killer career, actually worked at a fucking suicide hotline in like fucking Maryland or something. He was actually answered the phone and talked people out of suicides. So this sketch sketch is supposed to take place in like 1971. Doesn't look nothing like 1971. It's supposed to. You don't know it's Ted Bundy. It's this guy was like fucking. He was like a dead ringer for young Tom Cruise. He even did that thing like where he talked and ended a sentence where he kind of breathed out of his nose a little bit. I couldn't believe how much he reminded me of young Tom Cruise. It was nuts. I'm like, holy shit, this guy could fucking totally play him in something, you know? Or in like a flashback scene or some shit. It was ridiculous. But, so this guy, like, you know, real coiffed hair and shit. And he's like this kind of nervous, like, what do I do? How do I... And the boss is walking him through the suicide hotline thing. This fucking thing goes on and on for like 9 minutes long. And the whole time he's just talking to this chick that's going to like, well, I'm going to kill myself because like I got pregnant and an abortion and my parents found out. I don't know what to do. And he's like, you'll be all right. You're going to get through this. And I think you're supposed to think like, wow, it's this guy's first day at a suicide hotline. And this is probably a lot of pressure. And then at the end, she's like, what's your name? You have to tell me. He's like, oh, my name's Ted. And she's like, tell me your full name. I want to know. I feel like I have a connection with you. And he's like, well, we're not supposed to, but I'll tell you. He's like, Ted Bundy. And he like looks right into the fucking lens. And that's the plot twist. The whole time it was Ted Bundy, guys. 11 fucking minutes to get to that goddamn reveal. Could have been done in about 4 minutes. Very easily. I'm just like, we all look at each other like, are you fucking kidding? And then this asshole, he was fucking passable at best. He was like a model that could kind of act. He's in the best actor category, but not Mike Starr from Goodfellas, from ours. Who is better than everyone in all, obviously, the guy's a fucking 40-year vet of fucking motion pictures and been in fucking couple Scorsese movies. But he's not best actor. And then I'm like, wouldn't it behoove you, festival that's only 4 years old and has no celebrities, to have every famous person you could in there just so next year you can go, Bugs brought this up, like the next year you can go, hey, look, we got a couple fucking Mike Starr from fucking Goodfellas and everything was in it. No, he's not in it. This fucking jerk off. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god, so dumb. And these fucking things just go on. Some of them were, I mean, the one was a full half hour, like a webisode. And it was a musical about this fucking guy, about a singing chiropractor that goes to jail. Holy shit. I left. I can't take this anymore. I'm like, I gotta go. I'll hang out on the sidewalk and wait for everybody else to come out. Because we were already in there like an hour. I'm like, I can't take another minute of this fucking pretentious, self-indulgent, overly long, like no self-awareness fucking shorts that just are so fucking... Just visual masturbation on the screen. Just like, look at my art. Look at it. Just like shoving your face into their fucking balls. Oh, I can't fucking stand it. I hate it. You know, wrap it the fuck up. No one... Whatever. But, yeah, they went on and on. So afterwards, now, like I said, my goal was to try to fucking schmooze with, try to meet some... I don't know, any kind of producer types there that like our shit and be like, hey, I want them to give me money to make stuff. I know it's a fucking long shot, but, you know, I don't know. I'm learning how this stuff works. I'm never going to make it. The 10 is still fucked at 8 o'clock. What is my fucking, hang on, what is my fucking phone saying to make it to this fucking thing? Let's see. This doesn't seem like it's going to happen. 8:55. What time's the sign up for this motherfucker? Starts at 9. God damn it. Well, I'm hoping I make up the time when I get on the 60. I hope that fucker's wide open. This is fucking ridiculous. This, yeah, I know. What am I going to complain about Los Angeles? But you think at 8 o'clock the 10 would... I'm doing fucking 5 miles an hour on this motherfucker. God, my sinuses are fucked up. You hear how fucking stuffy I am? That didn't happen. We didn't meet any, like, producers or Jews or anybody that had money to give us to make stuff. And we were silly geese on the red carpet and... They announced the actual winners on this Thursday, tomorrow night, but I'm guessing we didn't win because I think they would tell you so that you showed up for the fucking ceremony. So it was about a waste of time. it was really cool to see it on a big fucking screen, like a full-size movie screen. That was pretty rad. Like where I go see movies, there's my fucking movie. That's kind of cool, but other than that, it was a little bustaroo. So next month, in a couple weeks, I go see... it's going to show at the Holly Shorts Festival at the fucking Grauman's Theater. My mommy will be in town. Yep, my mommy's coming pretty soon. A couple more weeks. This will be fun. And I booked tickets to go home for the one in September. The 27th through October 2nd. I'll be back in the old Buff. Get some fucking chicken wings. That'll be the first time I've been sober in that city in 15 fucking years. So, if I'm still sober by then, who knows? Maybe I'll slip off the horse. Yeah, I've really been fucking... I have been fiending a margarita. Just one. I want just one. I'm going to say, you know, I'll have one with my dinner, and that will be the only alcohol I will allow myself to have. One motherfucking margarita. Upon further review, I just better not. I'm doing so much better. I don't need it. It's been... This Saturday will be 8 months... since I had a drunk? Yeah. How about that? Did you see that fucking Justice League trailer? Come on, oh my God. What a pile of shit. It looks like a trailer for a video game. Who cares about any of these? They're trying to rip off Marvel so bad. They're trying to rip off my movie ideas, Marvel fans. DC, direct cocksucker. Might as well be what the acronym stands for, because when we made the Avengers, we built the shit out of it, and we had all the heroes with extra powers had their own movie first, and they were well-established and well-loved characters that were fun, and then they all came together to make a one team in the Avengers, and it was about a cinematic miracle, Marvel fans, because there was so much to do in so little time with so many characters with extra powers. But the movie worked, and it was great. And now DC is just shoehorning characters in that we don't even give a shit about, like The Flash. And now they put in Aquaman, who never had his own movie, and you say, who the fuck is this guy, and who cares about him, because he's in a team with other bunch of sullen, boring characters, like sullen Superman and bitchy Batman. You know, like, they're all... Avengers is fun. They're hilarious. They're really fucking funny movies, and like, but they still have their dramatic hooks. They're still a good script, you know? Like, they're flesh and blood characters, all of them. Even Thor, you know? You want to know how he got the name Thor? I'll tell you. But, like, the DC ones, like, yeah, they're just, like, throw... Oh, by the way, here's Aquaman. Oh, but it was the same thing that was the problem with the motherfucking Suicide Squad. They just started throwing characters in left and right. Then they die in 5 minutes. Like, well, who cares? We don't know who these guys are. Who gives a shit about them? Like, I know we know... No one really liked... Did anyone like that Ben Affleck Batman? I guess he did. I couldn't even... I got 20 minutes into Batman v Superman and tapped. I'm like, this... I didn't mind those standalone Superman movies were okay. But yeah, you're just going to get all these gloomy characters together. Like this fucking like shitty Superman who's just like... just like... It's just the whole thing's a bummer. And then you start squeezing in. Well, here's Wonder Woman. She was in 20 minutes of Batman v Superman. Wonder Woman. And The Flash. Sorry, The Flash has been done already. They beat you to it with like five fucking X-Men movies that already had Quicksilver in it. Like, what did it do? I'm telling you, watch Justice League. You will be fucking bored within 40 seconds. And it's just like, none of it's new. It's all the same, like the fucking guys go, they run, okay, the good guy and the bad guy run at each other to fight. And they both jump in the air, and then it does that fucking Zack Snyder in camera, like, crank to fucking 260 frames, so they're in super slow motion, and then they fly towards each other, and like, oh my god, I'm like, this is so fucking, this is nothing, we've seen all this. Who gives a shit? It looks fucking awful. I couldn't believe it. It really looked like watching a video game fucking trailer. So, yeah, go and watch that. Who gives a shit? That fucking DC and Warner Brothers are just... Oh, Warner Brothers in big trouble. They had a horrible fucking... It was like one of their worst years, like, ever. I think last year, the year before, or maybe both in a row. They are just eating a fucking cinematic shit sandwich. The DC movies are not doing well. I don't know, dude. I don't know how much longer they can fucking go on with this bullshit. I'm gonna need a drink-a-roo. I watched Jimmy Norton's special on Netflix. Fucking hilarious opening with De Niro. Fucking great. But I feel weird. I wanted to see it, but I did not want to watch it by myself. I'm in my own home, in my bedroom where my wife sleeps, where my children come to play with their toys, in my home. That's where I was going to watch the special. But I felt weird watching it by myself. I really wanted to, like, watch it with somebody. I was going to call the slob, but I'm like, I'm going to be stuck with her all day. Because this was on Saturday, and I was going to... Now, I had not gotten up all week. It was a total bust. Every fucking night, I kept going and either not getting up, or it was getting, like, past fucking midnight, and there's still an hour left in the mic, and I got to work the next day. This is so hard. At my fucking, like, age and my work schedule and everything else, it's fucking... God damn, it's so much harder. Like, this is my third mic today on, like, a Wednesday. But it's like, they had the day off from work. Like, these people are so lucky with these fucking, with these, like, holes in their schedule. They can just plug it by doing fucking stand-up all day. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys are fucking lucky. I don't have the goddamn luxury. But, I know, I'm fucking making excuses. But still, I was going to watch that and then go do a bunch of fucking mics on Saturday. So, I had a very productive weekend. I got a lot of shit done. I was happy. Because sometimes I'm just getting the old fucking thrown in a barrel of the old depression and fucking don't do shit. And this time I did. But so I'm like, fuck it, I'll watch it. And you know what the bummer was? When I saw him in November, he did most of that. Everyone was going off about this hour of his, saying it was like the best one he ever did. And, like, I've been a fan of him for a long time. He's probably still about my favorite comic and there's a fucking giant influence on him. But it's like... What's the big deal about it? It's the same fucking, like, five or six topics he always does. And there's always the couple funny, weird things that he goes down that make me laugh. That's what always keeps me going back. Because those are... His crowd work is the best. Because, like, his sets are so tight. But when he just goes off in the crowd work, he's so much funnier when he's just riffing shit. And there was a shocking amount of fucking... For a comedy special, there was, like, fucking 10 minutes of crowd work in there. Just people yelling shit, and he would go off on it. Like, so that parts of it were great. But I'd seen most of that hour when I saw him back in November when I saw him at the fucking improv there. So it was like, oh yeah, I heard all the jokes. But I don't know, it was good. He's still got it. It's my little man, my little fucking Jimmy Norton. But now I got to see the Chappelle ones. I still never saw that. Maybe I'll go back and watch that Bill Burr one. I haven't seen Bill. I mean, I stopped listening to his show, so he's kind of out of my fucking stratosphere there, but I need I know it's the thing about it right now. I miss that fucking redheaded motherfucker. I can't do his podcast, and like I said, I can't. The sports is bad enough, but now we're going to... Now sports and baby and that fucking stupid fucking asshole that he lives with. I can't stand her. I don't want to hear her fucking droning, bitchy voice. Ugh. But, sorry. Oh, I was not ready for that one. Yeah, I can't. I think I'm tapped out on Bill Burr last this episode. I'm stuffy AF, and my throat's all getting fucking jacked. I hope I don't get a... I hope I'm fucking catching a fucking cold. I just sick like three fucking times. I don't think it's all allergy shit, but God, this show, I'm telling you, it fucks up my throat, everything. It hurts my lungs. I'm a fucking mess after I do this. Look, we heard you the first time. You're not some kind of fucking tortured artist. No one gives a shit. Yeah, you're right. So, I said, I have not gotten up all week on stage, not in my trousers, you fucking geese. you could make that assumption, though, couldn't you, with this show? Because I'm a rascal. What the heck do you want from me? So I'm like, I am going to fucking clean up. I'm going to hit 3 mics today. One day. I've never done that. So I start out at... Oh, you know what? I would say this place is the 3rd most infamous. It's a very long-running open mic. I'll say Liquid Zoo, Unurban, and Sales Comedy Hole. And that's exactly what it is. It's a hole. Wow! It is behind a Mexican restaurant on Melrose Ave. Very popular, big tourist fucking spot. It's almost like Hollywood Boulevard fucking south. It was packed with people. And man, there were so many fucking hot chicks on Saturday. Good God almighty, all over the place. There was these 3 black chicks that were like... They were fucking smoking hot. They were like ass and titties just fucking... They were like almost naked. Just pouring out. I was like, holy shit. Look at these fucking 3. God almighty. I wouldn't last a fucking minute and a half between the fucking 3 of them. But so in the back of is it Sal's Cantina? It's a Mexican restaurant with a lot of like sidewalk patio tables and shit. You go in the back of the restaurant and then there's like a little stage area. I'll put a picture of this on my Flickr page there. And you can see like how weird. There's an actual stage. It looks like a little banquet hall where they would have like a private, like a catered dinner kind of thing. They took the tables out. There's some chairs. And there's like 2 couches that flank the sides of the stage. And behind the couches are like the seats, the chairs you sit in and shit. So, there's no light. It is dark as fuck. And the only light coming through is there's like a skylight panel where like a shaft of light. It looks like the goddamn cave that Bane lives in from fucking The Dark Knight Rises. That's the vibe and the look of the place. There's no like lights on. It's just like this one shaft of light pouring in, and it's in Hollywood. And I hate Hollywood mics. I mean, they just bring out the fucking crazies and the fucking slicksters, and I'm not fond of them. But this one started at 5:00. It was the earliest one, and I was like, I wanted to get going and get to one right away. So I wouldn't get fall down into a Sopranos hole and fucking wrap up the rest of fucking season 2, which I did. I got to the episode where the dreaded one where... So in season 2, if you didn't watch Sopranos, Tony's mother, the actual actress who was from Buffalo, was it Nancy Marchand, dies in the middle of the season. So they were like, oh shit, we better get writing. So they had to like rewrite... they had to write her death episode. Goddamn death dedication. Coming out of the record. And those up-tempo goddamn numbers. Impossible to make those transitions. And they get talking about a fucking dog dying. So she dies. And now they have to shift the whole storyline for the rest of season 2. I would love to know more about this. Like, how do they fucking, like, how do they do it? And like, this is the biggest fucking show in like since like Seinfeld or something. Like, Sopranos was fucking huge. Like, everyone just, it was like a cultural fucking phenomenon. It was so popular. They were like, oh my God, look at what, we just lost one of our major fucking characters. So they have to like write around it. So they have to write this death scene for her. Now, this is like 2000, 2001 maybe. And so they take, oh God. Oh, this is so bad. They digitally composite Nancy Marchand's head. Now, like I said, this is 2001. Onto another actor's body. And they just use... Now, it was only 2 seasons in, so they didn't have that much footage of her to use. It was all things that you had heard her say already. It was so obviously like taken from a take that we saw in previous episodes and shoehorned in with this awful like last conversation with Tony, because the mom was under investigation and was going to possibly testify against her own son. He's like, Ma, I got to know. What did you tell the fucking police? And she's like... Oh, I told them you were a piece of shit. It wasn't even that. It didn't even make sense. She was like, I'm going to the grocery store. I was like, Ma, don't give me that. Don't tell me you're going to the grocery store. I got to know what you told the police. So like, oh my God, it is so shoehorned. And the digital compositing is so bad. Dude, it looks, like me and both could do a better job now in some kind of like After Effects. It looks horrendous. It looks like a cartoon head like floating on a body. And like, they only cut to her when they absolutely had to. The rest of it is just like an RP Shy sketch. If like that day that we had to shoot, we shot two actors talking in two separate locations and realized we needed this, like, scene to tie the rest of the thing together. So we did this, like, awful, like, we tried to, like, cut it together, like, they were in the same room, but they were so obviously not, and you used all these, like, low-budget tricks, like, shooting over someone else's shoulder, and then do it in the reverse, it's the actor, but they're obviously not. So, like, for as many shots as they could, they framed the camera behind like, Mama Soprano's head, so you only get her head and shoulder in the shot, and, like, the hair wasn't even the same, it looked like he was talking to a mannequin. It's so bad. Oh, you gotta watch it. I was like, I knew it was coming. It's funny because, like I said, I haven't seen all this shit in like almost 20 years. It's funny to go back and watch all this now, and like I still can't believe how good it's holding up. But holy fuck, is that bad? It's last night I saw the Burt Young episode. That's one of the fucking best episodes where he's dying of fucking cancer and he's gotta whack that guy, and you can see the difference. Whatever. I don't know. I'm like, I'm fucking drag on and on about The Sopranos. But anyways, back to sales comedy. Sales comedy hell. Sales Comedy Hole feels like a place where if you bombed at Flappers, you get sentenced to 5 minutes. It feels like you're in detention. And the host is this guy, very well-known fixture around the open mic scene. His name is Jeff Carasalis. Jeff is a very energetic, loud, angry man who is quite possibly legitimately PTSD'd from Iraq, who claims to have killed many people over there. He's a short southern accent ball of fire who screams and berates the comics in the room, the crowd. When he gets up, he just basically does like almost like a Sam Kinison thing. I don't know why he seems to be obsessed with Marc Maron. Every time for over 2 years, every time I see him do a set, somehow he brings up the fact that what are we, a bunch of Marc Maron fans? Marc Maron's a pussy and so are his fans, and he's a fag, and why aren't we laughing at his jokes, at Jeff's jokes? Like, he's one of these guys where we're the assholes for not... He's not really telling any jokes. He's just up there yelling about, you know what, man? I'm walking down the fucking street, and this motherfucking dude come walking out of his fucking house, and he stepped on my shoe, and I'm like, what are you doing, you motherfucker? You think you just step on my fucking shoe and get away from it? This is how fucking people are out here. He did this fucking shit back down to fucking Texas where I'm from. I would have whipped his fucking ass. Hey, why aren't you laughing, motherfuckers? I swear to God, this is exactly what this fucking guy sounds like. So he hosts it. And I'm like, oh my God. I almost laughed. I mean, the whole room was full of, then that, what's his fucking name? That fucking Jared, what's his name? Oh, Christ. The guy that looks like Kirk Hammett from Metallica and just gets up on stage and screams and rolls. It's all the fucking Hollywood. It's basically like the Marty's open mic crowd, basically. Just fucking lunatics, right? So I'm just like, so he's yelling it up. Because now the first like three comics in a row were fucking, atrocious. Like not even, they didn't have any, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. But then he'd get up and bring up the next guy and be like, what the fuck, motherfuckers? This room's fucking dead. You guys better wait. I mean, there's like 15 of us in there. We're all just, it's like, come on, man. We're just waiting to go up. Like, the guy wasn't fucking funny. We would have laughed if he was funny. They weren't. He wasn't even telling jokes. He was just getting up to like talking about his fucking job or whatever the fuck he was doing. So, like, and I'm just, I don't need this. This is ridiculous. Like, I don't want to fucking, I was like just so uncomfortable. I'm like, this blows. So, I don't, halfway through, I can't stand that Jeff. He would get on. I used to see him at Flappers, and when it was his turn, like he was one of those guys that I'd have to go outside. I can't take this for fucking 4 minutes at 11:30 on a fucking Wednesday. Like I'm going outside until he's done because I can't take this screaming bullshit. But for some reason, it's this weird like dedicated following. There's like a whole everyone like loves him. I don't know what the fuck I'm missing, but I was just like, I don't get this motherfucker. So. I don't know, halfway through, he seemed like he started to lighten up. I don't know what happened, but, like, funnier comics started getting up, and, like, the mood in the room changed, and I think old Jeffy started to lighten up a little bit, and he would just, he's just like a comedy gym coach. He was getting drunker and forgetting who was like, oh, who's next? He's like, you, Denver, you're next, because the guy had a Denver Nuggets jersey on. He's like, Denver, you're next, and then you're followed by Harry, you're coming up. He loved this dude that he called. I've seen this guy around. This guy's crazy. He looks like a Muppet. He's like this fucking, like, I think he's Indian from, like, India. And he's got this huge beard. He's got this, like, little, like, weird, scrunchy cartoon guy face. He's probably, like, 25. And he's got this big, bushy, like, fro hair. But, like, the beard and the hair come together. So he's so fucking hair, like, beard and hair in his face. All you kind of see is, like, his eyes and his nose a little bit, like, poking out of I don't know what the fuck. He looks like a McDonald's character. So he just called him. He's like, Harry, you ready to come up, motherfucker? And here comes Harry, everybody. You fucking clap for him, will you? So we clap. And then it was like just getting like this and just getting silly. And then like Somewhere, somehow, I not only turned a corner on this stupid room and was excited to go up, I actually even kind of liked, that fucking stupid Jeff kind of grew on me. I was like, I kind of liked it. After 2 years of having him shoved in my face and just like really kind of hating his guts, I don't know, there was a weird heartbeat to that room somehow. Like the room came alive. It was very weird. I've never seen this happen before. I've never all but wanted to leave. In fact, I even got all my stuff and I got up to go piss and then I'm like, I'm going to come back and get my stuff and just go. But I still stayed. And I don't know. It just got weirdly fun and just stupid. It just turned into like, who gives a shit, Mike, which are kind of fun because then you can just riff bullshit. So like, I don't know. I got up and did my shit. And I did okay. There's a chick that was really funny. Her name was Hannah too. I don't think she was as attractive as the other Hannah that I really like, that I mentioned a few episodes ago, that I bombed horrifically in front of and wanted to fucking throw myself off a building. But this chick was like, she was really fucking funny. I mean, she had one of my favorite jokes in a goddamn week. And she was great. I wanted to see, I think she was like a feminist. She's like, yeah, I'm a feminist, but like, who gives a shit? Like, thing. So I was like, she was fucking great. But yeah, it actually turned out okay, that one. So I went to, then after that, I went to Westside at like 8. Wait, am I on a notes on sales comedy hell? Did I cover everything I need to cover there? Yeah. So I went to Fourth Wall. I actually did really good at Fourth Wall. I came up with a bunch of shit and they lost. That was good, man. Because like, I've been eating shit and I had a pretty good fucking day. I really needed a couple of good sets and I got them. I was fucking really happy. I felt great. So I did that one, and then I head down to this one that I have seen on the fucking Comedy Bureau for a long time. It's called Garage Mike Behind Food for Less. That's how it's listed. It is in a garage behind a Food for Less in the fucking hood in Koreatown off Western. Holy shit, it looks like a fucking war zone. Maybe I'll put a picture of this. I'll put a picture of this one up too on my Flickr. FLICKR, Flickr, live from the 405 podcast. I knew a handful of dudes there, but it was just like Saturday night. The mic starts at like 10, and it's in this little ass garage. And it was just one of these cool, weird little LA, like that living room show they had. Well, they used to have. Now they moved it to the Improv. It doesn't make any sense because it's not a fucking living room anymore. Talk about a fucking dog dying. But it was like one of those weird little punk rock fucking just like who gives a shit mics, and everyone was smoking weed. Everyone was like super fucking friendly, and like I got some really cool pictures. I took that A7S camera with me. I got some fucking great shots in there. But it's like 10, 10:30, 11, and the problem is, the host is really nice. Was it Victor Martinez Jr.? But like, he lets these guys. I mean, they're like 8, 9 fucking. He just lets. He's not even paying attention. He's just walking around smoking weed and talking to people, and these guys are just going on and on and on. It's like, they're like 9, 10 minute set. It's like, come on, guy, like tighten it up. It's Saturday night. And there's everyone wants to get up here. Like, they should be fucking 5 minute sets and they should be timed. You know, like 9 minutes in, and the guy goes, "How much time?" The guy's like, "Oh, how much more do you want to do?" It's like, "No, dude, there's fucking 25 people here. Like, come on." But that was the only bummer. So, I didn't get up, man. It was like 10:45. I was hungry. I was tired. Plus, I was close to Treeman's house, and he was having people. Well, not close. He's in Beverly Hills, but on a Saturday night when traffic's not too bad. I'm like fucking now. I'm not even in the 60 yet. It's 8:15. Fuck me. Am I gonna make this son of a bitch? Fucking hell. You can't do a fucking thing in this city without like 3 hours of fucking lead time. God, this is pissing me off. Why do I keep doing that? Why am I making fucking Robin Williams noises? So I ended up going to, so I didn't get up and it was getting late. And I was like number 16. And after like an hour and a half, they were on comic number like fucking 7. I'm like, I'm not going to get up till 12:30. This is fucking just stupid. So I left and I hung out. I stopped over by Bruce and Corinne's house and hung around. And then I went to bed. And then it was Sunday. The next day was Sunday. Sunday, I watched TV all day. And then I finally got my ass up and went to this other mic that they've had. It's called Mike Above a Rug Store in Pasadena. Yep. This is how they do shit out here. They just, whatever there's a goddamn space, they'll throw a microphone and a speaker, and you can go and do fucking stand-up. So I finally went to that one. And I get down there, and I go upstairs, and I'll put a picture of this on my Flickr. It is just a room. It looks like a conference room. And there's no microphone. They forgot the microphone that week. It didn't work. So you just stood in a room and talked to a handful of people. and it was so uncomfortable. I walked in and my name got pulled. I was like this, you know, I wasn't even in there 5 minutes and I'm already getting ready to go up. And I was just like, what the it was basically like standing up in a doctor's office and doing a set for the fucking waiting room. I was like, what? Hang on, I'm drinking. I mean, full lights on, everything. You know, fluorescent fucking lighting. Like, at least turn the light off and just let it get lit by the fucking window or something. Ah! And I'm trying to tell this story that takes a lot of energy to do. Hang on, am I in the right lane? Where's my phone? I don't like people playing on my phone. See, this is what this fucker does now all the time. It doesn't tell you which... There's like 7 freeway interchanges here. Which one am I supposed to stay on? It just tells me the one I'm supposed to get on. Well, how do I get to it? Fucker. Am I supposed to be on the 10 or the 110? What the fuck? I guess the 10? Let me get over it. It's fucking... Fix this app, fucking Steve Jobs ghost. So I got up, and man, I was like fucking nervous, and everyone was just staring at me. I mean, there's only 10 people in there. It was really weird and uncomfortable, and I'm just like, I had the throat closies so bad, and because this story is such a, like, it's almost kind of like a rant that I put enough beats in to make it stand up, I had to keep trying to find, I get that throat closed all the time. I'll get just nervous in the middle of my set. Luke, you've been doing this for fucking almost 3 years, and you've been on stage over 200 times. You tell me you still get nervous and stage fright, and your throat closes up? Yes, it does. So I have to work that into my set. I have to pull the mic away and swallow, and then re-engage. You know what I mean? Jump back into the story. But I just have to deal with that happening until I guess someday it won't. But until then, I got to work my swallows in. Because I'm self-conscious about them. So I'm like, yeah, guys. And I'm doing the thing. And I go, it was like one of those. I'm like, God damn it, I'm doing that thing. And I was so mad. I should have just addressed it. It probably would have been a great moment. Been like, I'm nervous and my throat keeps closing up. Is this happening to anybody? I should have just said it. It probably would have got a laugh. But oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. And I couldn't, like, I'm trying to remember my set. Or I was missing like punchlines and just it was a fucking disaster. It really sucked. I wish I had done it. I was really embarrassed. I was like, wow, this stinks. Everyone else like did good. And they were just standing there and be so comfortable, like they were talking to like their fucking family. I was just like, no one else is nervous. I mean, this didn't bother anybody else. This it didn't appear to anyway. I don't know. So that sucked. So after now it's like 9 o'clock and. I met this broad on Craigslist, and I've been throwing emails back and forth, and she seemed like a real whippersnapper, and she sent me some provocative pictures of her. Now, she looked a little long in the tooth. She looked a little old. I was guessing maybe 40, 41, and she sent me this picture of her in this like kind of tube dress with her big tits all pushed up. So we start texting, and... Then she calls me and we talk on the phone for like 20 minutes. She could hang with offensive jokes and she was, you know, she seemed cool. She just seemed like a fucking bar broad. You know, she reminded me, I'll say it. So she lives out in, I'm like, where do you live? She's like, I live out in Simi Valley, which is like fucking 20 miles away. Where I've gone the last 3 weekends in a row now, Simi Valley. And I'm like, so she's like, well, I got my fucking kid. She's got like fucking 3 kids, okay? They don't live with her. She's divorced. And she's got her one son who's like 10 or 11. She's like, well, I'm watching my son. Why don't you come over Wednesday night? Now, I had a feeling like some shit was going to go down. So I was like, I should go when the kid's not there. But it's better to go. She's like, you can come over with my kids here. I don't know if it's going to be weird for you, but if you want to come, you can come. You know, if not, whatever. So I started doing some deductive reasoning here. Now, if I wait until Wednesday when her kid was gone and she had the place to herself for like 5 days when the kid was with the fucking ex or whatever, there's a better chance of getting laid. But what if I go all the way there? I go Wednesday. Now, Sunday night, I can go and do my recon. I can go right now. There's no traffic. I'll go check the thing out. If she's gross, if she's ugly, if she's lying, if she's a pain in the ass, if I'm not attracted to her, I won't waste like a weeknight like tonight. Tonight's Wednesday, where I could be doing a mic, you know, or a podcast or my show. Something more important. On a weeknight, I got a lot more options. Sunday night, what am I doing? You know, go home you know, eat some junk food, jerk off, and go to sleep. You know, that's it. So I'm like, okay, I'll go check it out, and go check it out, and I'll see I'll see what the story is. I am never gonna make it to this fucking thing. This fucking traffic is ridiculous. It's 8:30, and it's been stop and going 5 miles an hour this whole motherfucking time. This is fucking ridiculous, man. What the fuck? How much time? 37 fucking minutes. Come on, motherfucker. Get home from work, everybody. The fuck out of my way. So I'm like, okay, I'll come over. So I drive over to this woman's place. Pretty nice apartment complex. And she answers the door. So I'm trying to piece her together from pictures. Now, this woman is 43 or 44. Oldest. Now, Friday was, what, 42, 43? Friday looked a lot, the porn star looked younger. Obviously, and she's a fucking porn star. So, like, kind of evens out on the old teeter-totter. This lady, you know what she really reminded me of? I don't know if anyone's going to get this reference, but if you do, this was her to a T. She reminds me of the truck stop waitress that Kevin Costner fucks in A Perfect World. Remember the Clint Eastwood movie where Costner's that he kidnaps that kid with the Casper the Ghost costume, and they're just kind of like on the road running from the cops, and Clint Eastwood's after him. Fucking great movie. But he bangs this fucking old with this big titty trucker diner waitress. This was this fucking lady. Her attitude, her whole essence. Did you say essence? Her whole essence was one of those, just like a fucking hee-haw. Like, what's that motherfucker? She's from like here, from like LA. But she had a weird accent. I'm like, where? How are you? You're from fucking the Valley? She's like, yeah. And she just sounded like she was from like Omaha or something. I can't describe it. But so like she was all right to hang with. So then the kid was like a nerd, like a dork, but he was. I know you're probably this fucking sounds awful, but like it wasn't. She was all right to hang out with. And the kid was like kind of funny. We played some dumb 80s trivia game. Now I have been on the ropes.
Take exit 16 beyond to CA 60 East toward Pomona.
60 East, alright. That 60 better be fucking wide open like goddamn Madonna in 1986. It sucked. I could use a better reference there. What do you want from me? I'm getting tired. I'm already into this motherfucker. So I've been on the skids. I have not had any. I got off most of my dating bullshit. I'm left on. My Match.com thing is almost over. That was a fucking total bust. I paid $40 fucking dollars. Yes, I'm getting in the old lonely stretch again where I'm like De Niro says in Heat. I am alone. I am not lonely. But I've been lonely, so I've been legit fucking. I can't date the slob. How many times are we gonna go over this? But so I'm ready to fuck. I need some fucking strange. I haven't had no new pussy in a while. And like I always say, I like to do stuff for the story. No matter what, I'm going to get a story out of it, so it's always worth it. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, we sat around and played this like 80s trivia game. Kid goes to bed. We get in her bed, this giant fucking king-size bed, and she basically just fucking pulls. Now, she's old, and she has giant tits. And I see pictures of her. When she was 22, she was fucking smoking hot. Oh, to make it even more uncomfortable. She shows me a picture of her kid. And his oldest kid is her daughter, who is 19 years old. I have my Tinder, my age range set to 19, by the way. Which creeps everybody out. I've seen too many Woody Allen movies. I'd love to date a way younger fucking girl than me. I think it'd be fun. 19, fucking beautiful. Her daughter is fucking smoking. And UC Santa Barbara or something. I was just like, fuck, your daughter's hot. But the mom was, this chick was fucking hot. And her tits are holding up. Great tits. She just like takes her tits out and gets in bed. And so we're basically laid there for hours and just talked and kind of fucked around, messed around. Now, if you know anything about the kid, Lucas date boner, the older I get, like the stories I hear about Robert Downey Jr., what it takes for him to have to act and be good. And like my dick has just turned into like Mariah Carey. Like it needs all these fucking. It's like Axl Rose. Like it just needs all these concessions to be able to perform. Like this isn't to my liking. I'm not coming out of my trailer until it is. This is how my dick acts now. Like I can never count on this fucking thing. I'm either limp dick, or I'm ready to fucking come in fucking 9 seconds. So I get date boner, like fucking around and cuddling and kissing and shit gets me fucking so turned on. I call me an old fashioned fella, but boy, does that get the old blood pumping. And I just leak fucking cum everywhere, all over her sheets. Just a throbbing hard on for hours. Just kind of teasing me, just kind of like grazing my dick a little bit. Because she's like, what? She's like, we're going to lay in here with your pants? I'm like, I don't have any underwear on. She's like, I don't care. Take your fucking pants off. She's like, this is like, she's like, I have almost no clothes. I want them too. I'm like, all right. I don't want to be too forward, for Christ's sakes, but that's what happened. So we're just laying in bed fucking around for like 2 hours, just talking. And then we finally start fucking around and,
take exit 12 onto I-605 north and I-605 south.
Oh, boy. What am I getting myself into with this shit? Why am I doing this? All this way for this fucking, to do 5 minutes, and I'm driving fucking 40 miles. That's dedication. She happens to tell me, well, I'm not having any more kids. I got my tubes tied a long time ago, and I was like, rightio. Well, prepare to receive the Eucharist, lady. That's all I can think about. I'm like, I can fucking just let it rip, because if there's one thing I love, it's letting it loose in a lady the way fucking God intended it in nature, if you don't believe in God. So I'm just like, I gotta fuck this lady, because I can come at her, and there's no consequences. So, I finally get to the deed, and I was so fucking wound up that the minute her unit felt really weird. It was just, I mean, three fucking human bodies passed through that thing. It was, you know, it was like a guy. I don't know what was going on. I didn't care. I just wanted to fuck. And like, I liked her. She was cool, you know. And I told her, I'm like, she's like, I don't care, it's fine. She's like, I just want to go to sleep. She's like, if you're going to come in 2 seconds, go out. I don't give a shit. I'm just like, I know I'm going to, and I really am. And I'm trying to, you know, it's not that exciting to me if I don't make the late. I like the challenge of making them come. I don't like just coming and leaving. It's stupid. You know, like, I want to make them come, and especially if I like them, you know. But I'm like, this is going to be bad. I'm like, we've been fucking around. It turns me on. I've been fucking hard and ready to fuck for hours. I haven't jerked off in days. It was the just like a perfect storm of potential embarrassment. Hadn't come, you know what I mean? I was horny as a motherfucker. And I am telling you, I got it in her, and three pumps, I was about to come. I'm like, what am I fucking? Am I 16? I don't know. Once in a while, I was bad, but I don't know. Not until the last few years. This happens all the time. It's one or the other. Either I can't get it hard, or the minute I stick it in your fucking Coos box, I'm ready to rip. And I'm just like, fuck. And I'm just trying to explain. I'm like, listen, that's all I can think of. I'm like, my dick is a diva. When it's in perfect shape, it'll get up there and belt out the fucking Star Spangled Banner like Whitney Houston did in 2001 at that fucking Houston game, where she just ripped it and that fucking airplane flew over and dropped the fireworks right on fucking time. Like, one of those. Like, that's what my fucking cock can do for you. But not tonight, or at least not this time. Maybe I can come and give me a couple hours to fucking recharge, and I will tear you up like a fucking jackhammer. But not right now. So can I just come in you? And she's like, yep, go ahead. And I left her about 6 ounces fucking heavier than when I got there. Holy good Lord. She's like, whoa, oh boy. I was like, I told you it was bad. I gave her I left her with a gift bag. Let's put it that way. But yeah, another embarrassing fucking performance by the kid. Why are you doing 35 miles an hour on the fucking freeway, you shitbag? What the fuck are you doing? I'm doing 40. I'm the fucking, oh my God, I'm gonna fucking kill you, you stupid fuck. You're gonna kill somebody, fucking retard, dumb fucking bitch, with your fucking glasses. What a fucking hooah. So, that ended in disgrace, and I went home, and I have barely talked to her since. That was Sunday night. No, Monday night. I had to go to work the next day. 3 o'clock in the morning is when I got home. 3 fucking a.m. I'm what am I, in college? What am I doing? I can't remember the last time I did. I slept right through my alarm. I think I turned my alarm off in my sleep. Like, I was in such a deep sleep, it was insane. I had all these crazy dreams. And I woke up. How bad is that feeling where you wake up way too awake? You're like, oh, I am way too rested. It's definitely not 6:30 a.m. when I was supposed to get up. I look over, it's quarter to 10 in the fucking morning. I'm like, oh my fucking God, I just slept right through my alarm. I mean, there was nothing going on at work that day. And quite honestly, as long as I beat my boss there, no one gave a shit. I don't know. I'm a stickler for being there on time. So I'm like, oh my God, I fucking do it. Guy, I'm like everyone but my boss. I'm like, the only other two guys I work with. I'm like, guys, holy shit, I slept in my fucking alarm. They're like, yeah, it's fine. Who gives a shit? Just come in. I'll tell them you pick something up on the way in, and that's why you're late. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I haven't talked to her since. So that was the saga of the old lady from Craigslist that I fucked and came inside. Total stranger. Good stuff, right? Smart, pragmatic. Finally, I will leave you with this stupid thing. I got this from the just a weird pocket of hatred and nastiness, but I can't resist it. The show is long gone, but the old Opie and Anthony subreddit on Reddit, just a horrible hive. It really is like the Mos Eisley of the internet, or at least of Reddit. It's just awful, where you can just be racist and like. But the problem is the people on it are. They're nasty. They will fuck you up in real life if they can, which I've seen them do to people. But they're so fucking funny, I can't not hang out there. And it's just all whatever. But they now the whole place, they'll have comics that they love, and then the whole place will just turn on them in unison. Like when Joe DeRosa a year or two ago, went on Rogan and talked shit about Anthony, and Anthony was like, "Fuck you." All the guys from this fucking subreddit just actively ruined his, like, they would call clubs and tell them he was racist and they shouldn't book him, and he would lose gigs. And then when his fucking album came out, they destroyed, and the fucking Amazon reviews for his comedy CD were so brutal from these fucking people and this thing, but they were so fucking funny. And the shit they were coming up with, it's the funniest, meanest humor ever. It's just hilarious. So I don't know what the... I always loved Jim Brewer when he was on ONA from SNL and shit. He's older now. He was 50 or whatever. But he was always a fucking funny storyteller and shit. I don't know. I never knew a stand-up. I just knew him from hanging out on ONA, and he always made me laugh. But he's gotten into this weird... I guess because he's getting older and he's got to stay relevant, he's tapped into this, like, dad crowd now where he does, like, just humor and shit to appeal to, like, working-class dads. You know, just regular dudes. So he puts out this video. Now he's got this band. What is it called? Like Jim Brewer and like the Rock and Rollers or something? Because Brewer's a big metalhead. He always was. And he put out this song called Thrash. And the song is about... So he put out this comedy album of like sort of mostly like kind of funny joke songs. And Thrash is about when his wife and kids are out of the house. He puts on his headphones and jams to some metal and rocks out in his house when no one's home. And that's his favorite time. When no one's home, that's when it's time to thrash. So they shot this video. And it is so fucking embarrassingly bad. It's like so douchey and corny. Like, Jim, what the fuck are you doing? It's so fucking bad. And he's, oh, God, you've got to watch this. Just like Google Jim Brewer thrash and watch this fucking video. Listen to how bad. I'm going to play you like a few seconds. Listen to how fucking bad this song is. It's so fucking embarrassing. I love when nobody's home. I can't wait to be all alone. That's it. And the whole video is about him just running around his house, walking out when no one's home, like in his pajamas. It's fucking... Oh, God, it's so bad. I don't know. It's been, like, stuck in my head for fucking 2 days. It's just... The douche chills from it are just... I can't... It's like taking a rape shower after I watch it. I can't... But the memory remains of that awful song. I guess to come full circle and work Metallica into it, too, because he's a big Metallica fan. Yes, indeedy. All right. Well, yeah, I was worried. I didn't know if I would make it an hour, but I did. Did I miss anything? Let me do a quick fucking recap here. While I'm driving, let me fucking... Now I'm doing... Finally, this fucking freeway opened up, and I'm moving. Let me see if did I miss any fucking stupid... Oh, yeah, one more thing. That chick, the Craigslist chick, This is a different experience. You know, I'm used to usually fucking chicks in their 20s. And every time this chick got out of bed, you'd hear all her, like, joints popping, like her knees and joints popping and shit. I'm like, oh, that's not good. That's not a noise you want to hear for somebody you're about to have sex with. Just all her old joints cracking and shit. I'm like, ah, that doesn't exactly spell out youthful exuberance there. Good Lord. It's like fucking an old creaky robot or something. But, you know, this is the weird thing. Like, sometimes she looked real. She had great hair. She had thick. She was half a Jew. She had half a Jew hair. I like big thick, and her big tits. Those fucking Jew tits. She had great tits, even for an old lady. They were holding up. Her tits were great. They were big and soft and real. They're really nice. I was laying on them. But, she, in certain light, she looked like she was, it was kind of like, what's her name? The redhead from Game of Thrones when she takes a necklace off and she turns into the old hag. Like, in certain light, this lady looked like she was 70. And then other times, she looked like she was, like, 32. It was really weird. It was really fucking with me. It just depended, like, when you could see, like, the wrinkles. It was a very... I don't like older chicks. I'm not into MILFs and cougars and shit, but it was, she was miles, both.
Take exit 12 on July 605 North.
605 North. God, I am going out of my way for this fucking... Like, this better be good if I don't get fucking called up. I just drove an hour for no reason at 9 o'clock at night. Fantastic. I guess that's it. I could pour through my notes, but what the fuck? I already hit a decent hour, and I did all right, so don't why try to fuck it up? Oh, boy. Well, as always, thanks for listening, folks, and have a good weekend and shit. I'll fucking come back next week and tell you a bunch of other shit and swear and gross stories and bodily fluids and every other goddamn thing that comes spilling out of my word hole, cake hole on this motherfucking stupid show. I don't think anything kind of anything. I can't think of anything on the books happening betwixt hither and thither. Kind of a butt. We were supposed to have Fred Savage on. I'm doing the Pollock Show Sunday. We were off last week, and this week it's some fucking no name dude. And then it's hosted by Sam, and that Pollock's out of town. But it was supposed to be Fred Savage was supposed to guest host, and I guess he dropped out. The pussy. Come on, Freddie. Fucking Fred Savage. I was really excited for that, but he chickened out. The fuck. Dropped out, canceled. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have anything exciting on the books. I'll have to check my calendar. But, yeah, see you next week. Thanks. Thanks, you son of a bitches.